It ain't happening today. It just ain't happening. No, it's been a rough couple days. Christmas. Ugh. I'm glad it's over. Happy holidays. Happy schmoladays. That's what I say. Yes, I'm on autopilot. I suppose you'd have to say that. It's just such... I know. I have a new family here in Pennsylvania, and I thank God for it. But Christmas is family time, and when you've had a couple families torn out from under you, it's kind of hard to sing those happy songs. Yeah, I know. God was able to guard that which concerned Paul, and he's able to guard that which concerns me. We're storing up treasure in another place, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I'm not the only one grumpy or grousing. I know we're not supposed to complain, but sometimes we do. It's just the way it is. Some days are better than others, and yet we go on. So what am I going to do, you know? Take a shot of sugar or something and pretend like I'm a Barnum and Bailey circus clown here for you today, a performing flea? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to talk to you man to man, man to woman, and I'm honest with you. That's the one thing you count on from me, and that's exactly what you're going to get. So I'm going to plow through this talk today. I'm not even sure where it's going to go. I'm just going to start reading where I left off in 2 Timothy yesterday, and that was in verse 9. We talked about suffering evil, didn't we, with the evangel, in accord with the power of God. And now we find out it is God who saves us and calls us with a holy calling. There are many callings in this life. I always wondered, when you're a kid, you want to know what you're supposed to do for a living, what you want to be. For a while, I thought I was going to be a veterinarian. I liked animals, and then I got into science. I collected bones and dog skulls and all these things. And then for a while, I wanted to be a professional pool player. And that didn't last too long. I wanted to be a football player. That lasted a long time. I love the Minnesota Vikings. And I think we all feel we all feel there's a purpose in our lives at an early age, even though you're not sure what it is. Why am I here? That's what we all want to know. Well, we have a calling, and our calling is a holy calling. There are callings, and then there are holy callings. Some people have a calling to be football players and professional pool players and veterinarians, and I thank God for these people. It's a calling, but here is a holy calling that can, this exists on top of these other things. You can be a veterinarian and have a holy calling called into the body of Christ. Now, Paul had a holy calling on top of the holy calling, and so did Timothy, and that's being in the body of Christ and having a role as an administrator. This was Paul. He was an administrator. He was a herald. He was a teacher. And Timothy was also a teacher. And there are some of you who feel the calling to be a teacher. So teach. Do it. Stop waiting until you know everything. If you wait till you know everything, you'll never say anything. I'm not telling you not to be prepared. I'm not telling you not to study. But if you're waiting for perfection, you will cripple yourself. Talk about writer's block or performer's block. Just study, do what you can, and get out there. Start a blog. Put some videos on the internet. Do what you can. Write a book. Write a pamphlet. Do something. Do something if you feel that calling. But don't feel you have to. I talked to somebody the other day. They said, you know, I'm just happy to be a member of the body of Christ. I don't want to suffer evil with the evangel. And I said, that's fine. That's your calling. Good. Good. At least you know it. You're not struggling against it. Well, we have a holy calling as members of the body of Christ, and this is not in accord with our acts. 2 Timothy 1:9. That is a huge verse. Not in accord with our acts. None of our acts, none of our works did anything to get us into this calling. And what I like to say is none of our acts can get us out of it. That's the nice thing about it. That's the flip side of that coin. If none of your acts got you into it, then none of your acts can get you out of it. This is in accord with his own purpose. And I texted Clyde today. I was having a really bad day. I should read you some of his texts. Rats, I don't have my phone with me. I'll paraphrase him. I said, where is God in this? Yeah, it's me, Martin Zender. And I'd like to know, where is God? And if you don't think I have these kinds of problems on occasion, these kinds of feelings, then you're wrong. Where is God in all this? And Clyde didn't know what I meant, and he responded with a question mark. And I talked about the abandonment. And everybody goes through some sort of abandonment and rejection. And I said that to him, and he said, this is in accord with God's purpose. And Martin, he said, when you see God's outcome, because you can't see it, you can't see around the corner now, but God can. God's the only one that can see around the corner. And when you see the outcome, he said, better things are coming, much, much better things. But he said, when you see the outcome, you are going to be so thankful that God took you on the path you did. And I've told this to other people, and now I needed it. And so Clyde gave it to me. When you see the outcome, you are going to be so thankful that it happened. He said, now anticipate that future. That future day when you're standing before Christ and you look back and you are so, so, so thankful that he did not spare you and you went through the trials you went through and it worked in you, this aeonian burden of glory. He says, when you get to that place, you're going to look back and be thankful for everything you went through. He said, now I want you to anticipate that by faith. Now you're going to rejoice in it then. He said, rejoice now by faith. Then you're going to rejoice by sight. Now you need to do it by faith. That was profound wisdom, and I'm trying to live it. I am trying to live it. Calls us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts, but in accord with his own purpose. And you know, that's the thing that we really do want. I mean, deep down, that's where you pray and you make your requests known to him, and then you just sigh and you say, yet not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes you have to say it either through gritted teeth or through an air of resignation, not my will, but thine be done. His own purpose and the grace which is given to us in Christ Jesus, before times aeonian, yet now is being manifested through the advent of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who indeed abolishes death, yet illuminates life and incorruption through the evangel of which I was appointed a herald. All that stuff I just said, I feel that that is totally his work. All that stuff he just said, that is totally his work. These things happened before I was even born. The advent of our Savior, Christ Jesus. What a struggle he went through for me to bring me into the body of Christ before I was even conceived, before I even knew what the body of Christ was, in accord with his purpose, given us in Christ Jesus before times aeonian. These things were given to us before the eons were even created. And he had all these things planned out. And I tell people, and this is hard for me to grasp, that the future is just as much set in concrete as the past. We all look at the past and we say, yeah, that had to happen. Oh, there it went. That had to happen. Oh, there it went. That had to happen. And we see the future as fluid, as something that it might happen, it might not. It depends on us. No, the future is just as set in concrete because Isaiah 46:10, God knows the end from the beginning. And the only reason it seems uncertain to us is because as we're going through it, it appears fluid, and we're act like we're discovering it as it happens, and that's what throws us for the loop, because we think that it's chance. We think that it might happen, it might not, and this is not a comfort, but it will be. I want you to file what I'm telling you away. It doesn't seem like a comfort when you're going through it. I recommend that you exercise, and I recommend that you drink a little wine. Not for your stomach ailments, for the love of God. Take Pepto-Bismol for that. But I want you to take a little wine to help take the edge off the pain. Jesus drank wine. In fact, he turned water into wine. He thought so highly of it. The grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before times aeonian. You know, why did he give us grace unless he anticipated our sins? Grace is the answer for sins. He gave us grace before the eons even began. So obviously that's long before we were born. And he gave us this grace in anticipation of our sins. So he had our sins covered before we had committed any of them. That's how Paul can say in verse 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 that he saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts. My goodness, if this holy calling occurred in grace given to us before time's aeonian, we not only have a period here, or speaking of a time period, if I can use a figure of speech almost, before time's aeonian, but we have grace given us before time's aeonian. So he's already anticipating that we're going to sin like crazy, and he's already anticipating that grace is going to cover it, and he's already anticipating that he's calling us into this august body called the body of Christ, and he's doing it without our cooperation, without our contribution, without our marvelous acts, of which there were none at the time of this calling. And this is all given to us in Christ Jesus, the one who saves us, the one who calls us, the one who completes it. That was Paul's big argument to the Galatians. Having begun in spirit, are you now going to be completed in flesh? Take it to another level. Having begun before you were born, are you now going to perfect it now that you have been born? Almighty you have come on the scene, and now you're going to iron this thing out and perfect it. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's just a freaking mystery. It's a mystery, and you don't understand it as you go through it, and you say, where is God? Where is God? You know, I've walked with him for 30 years, and today, I'm where is God? You know, well, I maybe shouldn't feel so bad. His son was on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did God literally forsake him? No, but it felt like it. There's a good clue. It feels like it, but he doesn't actually do it, but he makes you feel like it because somehow, ding, ding, that's scoring points for you when you still have faith. I told this to the saints in Las Vegas. Oh, we got left is faith. That's all you got left? You know how much God loves faith? Do you know how much it stuns the celestials to know that God beating the hell out of you, he's disciplining you as a father disciplines a child, and you still have faith in him? The celestials are freaking out. My God, they're getting the crap beat out of them, and they still believe in God. They can't believe it. Yeah, if you're a Joel Osteen Christian, you're winning the lottery, and your teeth are gleaming, and you have all kinds of money, and a congregation of 100,000, and your wife looks like, you know, who the hell ever, and you still believe God, what's the big deal? That's nothing. Who cares? You're still believing God. Oh, boy, that's a marvelous feat. No, it's not. What's a marvelous feat is when you're Job and you still believe God. Shall we not accept good as well as evil from the hands of the Lord? And then his wife with tight curlers said, curse God and die. And Job didn't do it. He didn't curse God and he didn't die. And now it's being manifested, this grace. It's not only being manifested to you, it's being manifested to those around you. It's being manifested to the celestial world who are in attendance, believe you me. This is the Truman Show, and the celestial world is marveling that people who are getting the crap beat out of them still believe God. All right, and this is being manifested now. It's through the advent of our Savior Jesus Christ, and it's through your advent on this planet. Sometime in your life, you're going to be acquainted with this call, and here you are. And this is all from the one who indeed abolishes death. I got to close there in verse 10. He abolishes death. But I'm going to pick up where I left off tomorrow. And remind me, I need to start with this abolishes death stuff because I love this part. Any scripture that talks about the abolition of death, and it's right here in 2 Timothy 1:10, and it's also in 1 Corinthians 15:26. I hate death and all its accoutrements and all the accessories that death is sold with. Yes, death is sold with all the accessories. You don't have to buy something extra. It comes with everything. Death, pain, suffering, humiliation, abandonment, and all that good stuff. This has been and continues to be Martin Zender. Thank you for listening to me. I pray that something I said today blessed you. And by the grace of God, I will be back tomorrow.